Again, the first hour, we're going to continue to go through the book of Acts, okay, chapter by chapter. Each week is a new chapter, is the next chapter in the book of Acts. And today we're on Acts chapter 17. And, of course, some of you might think ahead, okay, if we're on 17 today, that means next week we'll be on 18. So maybe a good homework assignment during the week is to read that next chapter that we're going to. Larry came in the other day, and now we've got an office set up back here. We're just talking a little bit, and he said, going ahead and reading the next chapter. What a novel idea, huh? Okay, so just to, since last week was the conference up in Chattanooga, outstanding conference. We'll talk more about that in the second hour. But just to set up, of course, we've got the Old Testament started. We had the birth of Christ, the crucifixion, then the book of Acts picks up. And just a couple of key chapters. Acts chapter 9, and this is A.D. 29 would be the crucifixion. And Acts chapter 9, of course, being when the Apostle Paul, is when God the Father appeared to the Apostle Paul and saved the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 9, well, this is A.D. 36, about 7 years after the crucifixion. A.D. 13 is the first time in your Bible that you see the Apostle Paul, where you read the Apostle Paul preaching the gospel of Christ. Question? Acts 13, thank you. Yeah, so Acts 13 is the first time where we see Paul preaching the gospel of Christ. Well, this happens to be A.D. 46, about 10 years after he was saved. Yet that's the first time you see in your Bible Paul preaching the gospel. Okay, so today we are out here in Acts 17, and this is about A.D. 52. Now, these dates are all according to the Rees Chronological Bible. These are the dates that he gives, and I am getting a question. Am I... do the way we normally do this then. I don't know why I changed this morning. Okay, so this is where I normally put it, and I'll keep it. Okay. Thank you. Internet, we're working to keep this good for all of y'all on the internet too. Appreciate you being here. Okay, so Acts 17 today is where we are. Again, if you look at this, we are, 33 years after the crucifixion. And remember, the book of Acts, a couple rules, if you will. A, never get your doctrine out of the book of Acts. Okay, you're going to see Paul even do many different things contrary to what he teaches later on in Romans through Philemon. So don't watch what Paul does in the book of Acts. Read what Paul tells you in Romans through Philemon. That's where you get your doctrine for today. But so much confusion occurs. You know, why do we have 320 main denominations today? If you go to the book of Acts, you can see just about every single one of them. Okay, because people go to the book of Acts to get their doctrine. Okay, never, ever, ever do that. Okay, with that, let's pick right up. Acts 17, verse 1. Okay, now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. First of all, let's just stop right there. Notice verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was. What was his manner that they're describing here? Go back to verse 1. When he went to Thessalonica, he went to the synagogue first. So, and what you'll see is all the way up, actually, until Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Paul always, when he went to a town, he went to the Jew first. And also to the Greek or to the Gentile, depending on the city. Okay? Jew first. Until Acts 20. Every city that he went to the synagogue first. As his manner was, as it tells us, as it reminds us here in Acts 17. We've been seeing that in other chapters. We'll see that in the next chapters to come. Okay, verse 3. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Well, let's stop again for a minute. What gospel did you just see in verse 3? Gospel of God, exactly. Opening alleging that Christ needs must have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Okay, the gospel of God is the answer. Okay, not the gospel of Christ. Did we see sins talked about in there? No. The gospel of God, the foundation of all gospels. The foundation is that the Lord Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God. And how did He prove it? By the resurrection. Okay? Just as it says there in verse 3, and risen again from the dead. That's how He proved that He was, in fact, the Son of God. Also, while we're in verse 3 there, notice one thing. If you go back and read 1, 2, and 3 again, so let's just beginning of verse 1. Now, when they had passed through this city and that city, verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in there. Verse 3, he did this, he did that. And then at the end of verse 3, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. So it was like we were getting a play-by-play from the press box up there. And all of a sudden, the announcer just said, I, this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Who's that announcer? Remember, context, something we always want to do when studying your Bible. Who is saying it? To whom are they writing? Okay, under what circumstances, etc., etc. Who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. Okay, the great physician Luke. Okay, Luke was giving you play-by-play. He's with Paul. Remember a few weeks ago we saw where all of a sudden Luke is with Paul. If you go back to Acts 16, okay, flip back to Acts 16 and verse 10. And it says, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. That's the first time the writer of the book of Acts includes himself in what activities were going on. That's the first time that Luke is physically with Paul. Okay, so the first 15 chapters, Luke is writing about as he learned about it. From Acts 16 on, Luke is physically with the Apostle Paul. And by the way, he has yet to write the book of Luke. So when you really study out Luke and Acts, just think about that. He wrote the book of Luke after he knew about the things, after he traveled with Paul, all the way out here till the end of Acts. Luke is with Paul that whole time. So really think about that as you study the book of Luke, which of course is describing this time period back here, really the 3 years, if you make this the 3 year period of Christ's ministry on earth. But the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John describe this time period, the time that Christ was on earth, right? Well, Luke being one of those three books, but he didn't write it until after he had been with Paul. So keep that in mind when you go back and read Luke again and think about it that way. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Okay, anyway. So at the end of verse 3, so now I'm back in Acts 17, verse 3. And again, we're going through the book of Acts because when you understand, looking at it in a historical sense, okay, that's how we should look at the book of Acts. When you do that, it helps you understand how the transition from the Jews to the Gentiles occurred. I mean, really, that's why we're doing this and going through the book of Acts. Brother Jerry Lockhart announced at the conference, he's going to do two road shows, if you will, the book of Acts in 6 hours. I still don't know how he's going to do that, but he's going up to Kentucky. By the way, if any of you maybe want to go, he's going to go to Kentucky to that group September 30th and October 1st. He's going to do it in Houston, it's like around October 23rd or maybe the next weekend. The last weekend in October, thank you very much. So the last weekend in October, he will be in Kentucky with the group there. Brother David Z and Brother Roman and the brethren there in Kentucky that that Brother Barry opened up a year and a half ago. Jerry Lockhart's going to go there and do his new study on the Book of Acts in 6 hours. Like I said, I'm not sure how he's going to do that, but that's why we're doing that too. We're just taking a little bit more time again each week, the next chapter. Because remember, starting back here in Acts chapter 1, okay, we had how many? We had one church going on, and that was the church that Peter, the church of the circumcision, the gospel of the kingdom was being preached. Peter and the 12 got right on with it. Okay, of course, at the cross we have Christ hanging on the cross, dying, shedding his blood, paying the price, the penalty for our sins. He was buried, and 3 days later, God raised him from the dead, okay, proving that he was the Son of the living God. And there's the gospel of Christ, how that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried and raised again the third day, according to the Scriptures, for our justification, and to prove that he was the Son of the living God. Okay, 40 days later, he ascends into heaven, right, in Acts chapter 1. And the apostles are there and they watch him go. Okay, and they get on with preaching and starting, okay, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But as we know now, 2,000 years later, looking back on this from a historical standpoint, the Jews, it's a gradual fall. All the way out here to Acts, if we just make this Acts 28. Okay? The fall of Israel. At this point, the Jewish church, the Jews become, lo am I, not my people. Okay? And at the same time, starting somewhere in here, wherever you want to put that, but somewhere in here, another church starts. It's called the church which is the body of, church which is the body of Christ. Of course, Paul is in it. So you have to include Acts 9 in it. Okay? And it basically increases, okay, until Acts 28. Now it's the only church. The church which is the body of Christ. Because at Acts 28, the Jews become lo am I. Okay, by the way, we talked about this Wednesday night, but how many years throughout the Bible, if you go back to Moses, go back to Abraham, it always talks about generations, right? Matter of fact, when Moses was going through the desert, and because Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land, right? How many years did they wander through the desert? 40 years. How many years is a generation in your Bible? 40 years. Would you believe the crucifixion was A.D. 29. Would you believe that Acts chapter 28 just happens to be, I'm sure it's a coincidence, A.D. 69. Let's see if my math is right. 69 minus 29 is 40. Wow. How about that? Okay, amazing how things work out in your King James Bible. Some people might call that a coincidence. Okay, numbers are important in your King James Bible. Okay, so it's a gradual fall of the Church of Israel. It's the gradual rise of the body of Christ. At Acts 28 on, it's only the body of Christ. Okay? All right. Boy. Back to Acts chapter 17, verse 4. And some of them believe and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Okay, lots of people are believing. Verse 5, but the Jews, and watch this, we should probably say, all right, now this is Steve adding some words, and never add words to the Bible, so why am I going to do it? So I'm not. But the Jews, which believe not, moved with envy. The thought I was going to make there is just that you'll see this repeated throughout all these chapters back at this time period. Paul goes into the synagogue, it's always the Jews that reject him, then he goes over and starts preaching to the Gentiles in that town. Okay, and I was going to say what the Jews as their manner was, it just as they repeat. Okay, But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and all these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go. Okay, you see this repeated. City after city after city. It's the same pattern. Okay, again, Paul always goes into a city, goes to the Jew first, in the synagogues. So therefore, what type of Gentiles during up until Acts 20, what would be a characteristic of the Gentiles that are seeing Paul at that time period? Okay, they were aligning themselves with Israel, right? That's why they're hearing. Okay, God-fearing Gentiles. They knew that back when God made a promise to Abraham, okay, they remember these Gentiles understand very clearly that way back here, thousands of years ago, God said, "I will bless them that bless thee," to Abraham, right? "I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee." These are the type of Gentiles, okay, up until Acts 20, that you're seeing. Why in the books of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, what we call the Acts epistles of Paul, okay? Paul wrote some books prior to Acts 28. Those are called the Acts epistles. And Paul wrote some books after. We call those the prison epistles. In the Acts epistles, he'll say to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You never see him say that in the prison epistles. A different type of Gentile is what you find in the prison epistles. They were the ones that didn't understand that God said, "I'll curse them that curse thee, I'll bless them that bless thee." Okay? Anyway, that's we'll get to that when we get to Ephesus and just some chapters to come here. Okay, so verse 10. "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea." And just watch what's coming here. When we used to go through our three principles of studying the Bible, okay, one of those we're going to talk about in the second hour, one of those three principles. The second one is right here about being like the Bereans. I would encourage you, not from a doctrinal standpoint, but from the way you study your Bible, be like the Bereans. So let's watch and see what the Bible says about these Bereans. Okay, verse 10, "By night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." So you see again, when he gets to Berea, he goes to the synagogue first. Now watch what the Bible says in verses 11 and 12 about these Bereans. You should have this characteristic. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica." Why? "In that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed." Why do you believe what you believe? Is what I would ask you. No, don't say, "Well, my mama taught me this, my granddaddy taught me that." Okay, when you get your judgment time before God Almighty, that isn't going to fly. Why do you believe what you believe? You've got to know what you believe because chapter and verse, where is it? Okay? I highly encourage you to write your own doctrinal statement. You know, "I believe that we're saved by the gospel of Christ as laid out in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Okay? "I believe that we're saved by grace, and works play no role in that, like in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, as a for instance." You might want to add a few other verses to that. Plenty in Romans. Titus. Okay, but anyway, just like these Bereans, they didn't take what was preached. Don't take what a man preaches to you as gospel, if you will. Okay, study it out, just like these Bereans did. They're called more noble because when they heard the word preached, they said, "Okay, but let's go test it. Let's go search the scriptures and make sure we see that in the scriptures. Now take it." Okay, that's how God's going to judge you. What you did with the words in this King James Bible. And also, that's as it is in the beginning of verse 12, that's why they believed. You know, let's think about, you know, we have some kids here from school. All right, and glad to have some guests this morning, too. Thanks for being here. But think about being in school. You hear a teacher stand up there, and she or he teaches you some things. You know, maybe it's math, you know. I'm sure your favorite subject, right? You know, maybe it's math. And they teach you some things, and you see it, and you say, well, that makes sense. But until you go home and do some problems yourself, do you actually, not necessarily believe what was taught, but you internalize it. Okay, now I can do it. Yeah, I saw it today, I learned it today, but I don't know how to do it yet until I go home and study it out. Okay, same thing here. I hope that was a good analogy. All right, so same thing here. They believed, if you start at the beginning of verse 12 and go backwards, therefore many of them believed. Why? Because they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Okay, and how did they do that? They received the Word with all readiness of mind. Always interesting when you read it backwards, you know, that way. Not word for word, but thought by thought. Okay, phrase by phrase. Okay, verse 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica, here we go again, this same pattern repeating itself. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Here they go again. Wow, he's over in that town, he's preaching them, let's go down there. And here they go. Verse 14, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. Once again, Paul had to leave. He feared for his life. They feared for his life. He had to leave the town. He left Silas and Timothy there to continue preaching. Verse 15, and they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens. So now Paul's going to Athens in Greece, right? And receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw this city wholly given to idolatry. Wow. So let's watch how he defines idolatry here. Look for some of the characteristics here. Verse 17, therefore disputed he in the synagogue. Whoa, he's in a new town again. He's in Athens, and where did he go? The synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers captured him and said, what will the Babylon say? Others come, he said, therefore, the strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Here again, he's preaching Jesus, the resurrection, the gospel of God. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine, wherefore thou speakest, is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. And watch the parentheses here. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Wow. Now we're going to have to stop here for just a second and look at a few things. And remember this thought here of it's something new. They're always searching for something new. All right? A couple of us yesterday went over to Brother Wayne, so Brother Carlton and Brother Wade and Brother Larry, Brother Jerry Lockhart has a Bible study, a men's class, every Saturday morning. And so we went to listen live together. And anyway, so there were a couple of things that Brother Jerry shared that are very applicable to this. So let's go over, first of all, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Keep your hand in Acts 17. Okay, Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, and he goes on and on. Down to verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Have you ever met somebody that's always studying the neatest, newest thing to come along. And then they never know what they believe. They're always looking for that new doctrine, like it just talked about over here in Acts 17. Let's go one other place. Let's go to Titus chapter 3. Actually, we're going to talk a lot about this in the afternoon, so I'm going to kind of do this quickly here, or in the second service. In Titus chapter 3, and come to verse 9. Titus 3, verse 9. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Watch verse 10 now. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he is that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. A heretic. Brother Jerry did a great job yesterday of defining the heretic. So if you allow me to read some definitions here. He said there's three Greek words that come together to form the word heretic. It means to choose, to please yourself, to be different. Unprofitable and vain, if you will. And let me go back. To please yourself, to be different with something previously unknown. And I'll tell you what, I've got a person that I know that I see from, you know, a couple times a year, and every time I see this individual, and they teach a couple Bible classes, I go with this person. And every time, 90% of the time, you know, I'll go to his class with him, and he teaches his class, and we get out, you know, usually I drive with him, we get to the car, and the first thing, bet you've never heard that preached before, you know. What'd you think of that? I bet you never heard that before, did you? I said, time out. Why does that matter to you? Who's getting the glory? Why does it have to be different? Oh, you know, you grace people. You're always Romans to Philemon. Yes, praise God. That's what we're commanded to do. And something different? Why is it so important that you have to show something different? I just saw it yesterday. I didn't even realize that. And I can't wait to talk to that individual again. I'm sure that's going to go well. The definition of a heretic. Maybe not the way we've used heretic in the past, but a heretic. To choose to please yourself to be different with something previously unknown. And then look what it said over there in 2 Timothy about those people, ever learning and never able to come unto the knowledge of the truth. People that go from church to church to church, chasing different doctrines, you know, Doctrine of the Month Club or the Doctrine of the Year Club. Get grounded in what you believe. As I say, what do you believe and why? You need to know in the Scriptures, you know, let's pick something out there, like tongues, for instance. You know, either they're for us or they're not. Well, what do you believe? And more importantly, or just as importantly, why do you believe that? If they're not for you, why do you believe they're not for you? If they are for you, why do you believe they're for you? You need to know in the Scriptures. Okay? And of course, just to complete that thought, we know that the Apostle Paul tells us that tongues are not for today. Okay. And by the way, tongues, even the way they are done today, is not the way they were done in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. It says specific languages. Speaking in tongues would be like Deborah when she went to France a couple weeks ago, being able to talk in French, but never having studied the French language. If she could have done that, then she would have been given the gift of tongues right there. She would have been speaking in a known language called the French language. For our Scottish brethren, when she got to Scotland, and if she could have talked Scottish, I'm sure they could at least communicate, but okay, anyway. But anyway, that's what tongues were back in your Bible. It's not the way they're practiced today. Okay, back to Acts chapter 17. So these Athenians in Acts 17, verse 21, they are always trying to find some new thing, ever learning and never able to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Okay, and heretics Just look forward to preaching some new thing. Okay, there is nothing new in here. It's been around for thousands of years. This Bible, you know, don't add to it, don't subtract from it. Meaning this King James Bible. Your King James Bible has been around for 400 years this year. Okay, don't add to it, don't subtract from it. This is the English Bible. The King James Version, the 1611 authorized King James Bible. We've had it for 400 years now. It just happens to be the 400 year anniversary right now. Okay? So, there's nothing new. It's all been there. Okay? We shouldn't be looking for new things to preach. If you think you found something new, I would caution you before you went and preach that, especially from a pulpit in a public setting. Make sure you really test that with some people you would consider biblical scholars, if I can use that word, just men that study the Bible hard and test that thought with them. Okay, again, anybody that preaches from a pulpit are judged harder by God Almighty with the words that they say, and if it's something that's wrong, you're judged in a much harder way because basically as the Bible says it, the blood of the people is upon that preacher's shoulders. So anyway, don't beware of preaching something new. Anyway, I'm getting off too much on that. That's later. Okay, so back to Acts 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. Mars Hill is the highest court in Athens, okay? Of Mars Hill, and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious." You might want to write in your margin there, underline superstitious, and write the word religious. In other places in your Bible, that word is referring to a superstitious in a religious standpoint. Okay? "I perceive that you are in all things, ye are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you." In this case, it's Paul. Okay, Luke is quoting Paul. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. I thought we were all going to the house of God today. Right? Every Sunday, don't most people go to God's house? That's what they say is right. The Bible tells you right here, he dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Okay? "Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." Okay? Of course, back in Genesis 11, he segregated the people. He gave them different languages. Put them in different areas. Okay? Verse 27. "That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device." And that's the key right there, too. Okay, idols. Remember, at the beginning of this passage, back in 22, he says you're too superstitious, you're too religious. Back in verse 16, it says they were given to idolatry. Well, here he's defining it in verse 29. Gold figures, silver figures, stone figures, anything graven by man. Okay, can you think of some religions come to mind? Or maybe they even have some things hanging from their rearview mirror in their car. Might be considered a graven image. Okay, how many churches even today would you walk into that have graven images across the front and in each of the corner? Maybe a few stations around the room, even with graven images. Okay? We're going to get to this one, but let's just jump. Keep your hand here again in Acts 17, 2 weeks from now. Go to Acts 19. And the whole subject here. So in Acts 19, verse 24. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. Okay? Here we're going to see when we get to Acts 19, they're making silver shrines to their goddess. Happens to be a female god, a female goddess. Has the name Diana, made of silver. And it brought these men much gain, the Bible tells us. Why do they get so upset when Paul comes there? Not because he's preaching something different to what they think Diana taught them. Because their back pocket's getting hurt. Because he's basically preaching against those silver shrines that they're making a fortune on. Amazing. Okay. Back to Acts 17. So you see what the idolatry is here, okay? Having graven images. Shrines. Okay, verse 30. And the times of this ignorance of God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Like in Acts 2:38, no, to repent of idolatry. Okay, repent simply means to change your mind. In the context here, right, we take everything in context. He's talking about what idolatry is, defining it, the shrines being made of gold, silver, okay, stone. And he's saying, repent of that. Idolatry. Verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. What did we just see again? The gospel of God. Right? The gospel of God. Okay? He raised him from the dead. How did he prove that God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? He raised him from the dead. Okay? And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with them. Okay, so again, just to I told people I'd have my cell up here, and just to kind of review what we just went over in Acts 17. So again, we are 33 years after the crucifixion of Christ. We're 16 years after Paul was saved. Okay, we're 6 years after the first time he preached the gospel of Christ. So all this time now, he's going to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Okay, he goes in first, like in at the beginning of 17 when he went into Thessalonica. How many Sabbath days did he reason with the Jews? If you look back at the beginning there of Acts 17, in verse 1 or 2, Acts 17, 2, how many Sabbath days did he reason with the Jews?
Three.
Thank you. Okay, so 3 weeks then, right? So 3 weeks he went in, and it only took the Jews, in this case, 3 weeks to start an uproar. All right? Now, it doesn't say in this particular city in Thessalonica, but in every city he would stay in the synagogue as long as the Jews allowed him. As soon as they kicked him out, boom, he goes next door or to another somebody's house down the street and starts preaching there to the Gentiles that would follow him over there. And, of course, any Jews that wanted to could come as well. But usually it was the Jews that were rejecting him, as we see by the line there. The Jews continued to reject over time. Okay, but why do we rightly divide? Why do we, we call ourselves grace believers and we study Romans through Philemon? Again, don't look for something new. Yeah, stay in Romans through Philemon. Why do we do all that? It's very simple. To make sure that we're saved by the right gospel. Okay, there are many gospels throughout your Bible. God dealt with man in different ways throughout your Bible. He told Abraham to do one thing. He told Moses and those people to do other things. Okay, they were keeping the law. We start the gospel of the kingdom. Okay? Paul, right here, starts the body of Christ. And anybody that is saved today in the year 2011 is part of the church, which is his body. How do they get there? It's very simple. Just like they did here, they believed. Same thing today. They believe the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where you see the gospel of Christ preached. Paul says in verses 3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scripture." What's different about that? Okay? Yeah, Peter understood that the Lord Jesus Christ died after the fact, that the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross, was buried, and rose again. What's different about it is sins being added to it. That's the difference. In 1 Corinthians 15, it said He died. He didn't just die. He died for our sins. He shed His blood. Why did He have to do that? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That's why it was so key. If any of you saw the passion and the terrible anguish He went through, that's one thing they did do well in that movie. And yeah, praise God for that blood. Everybody's like, "Oh man, that was terrible." Yeah, it was a terrible thing, of course. But we deserve that. That's the whole point. He died the death that you and I deserved. Had to shed His blood to pay the penalty for our sins. He was buried and then raised again. Now, Peter understood when He was raised again, that proved that He was the Son of God. We know that He was raised again for our justification. Okay? Those are the differences. And you see, there's power in that gospel we just read. That was 1 Corinthians 15. If you were to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." I'm sorry, I'm giving you a wrong passage there. Try Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. And he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," gospel of Christ that we just read. "For it," the gospel of Christ, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." It's that simple. Just believing the gospel of Christ, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures for our justification. All it takes is believing. Okay? So why not believe and why not trust in Him today? Okay, so next week we will be going through Romans, through Acts chapter 18. So you might want to read Acts chapter 18 for next week. Again, it just helps us understand the transition from Peter to Paul, the transition from the doctrines, even within Paul's doctrines that he teaches. Okay, there's a few modifications, if you will, from the Acts period until the prison ministry. So we see some transitions there. Same gospel, though, that Paul always preached, that we just read.